So, Stephen Hackett.
Patrick Roan.
You're replacing Mr. Hurley as host and producer this week because he's off doing something silly like enjoying his birthday.
He is. He's on vacation. So he was.
I don't enjoy my birthday.
Mine.
Why does he think he gets to enjoy his birthday?
Mine was at Macworld, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're probably under some table somewhere for your birthday.
We went to a Mexican place and had some margaritas, and they sang to me in Spanish. Pretty much what I would do here in Memphis.
Pretty much.
You sound a little exhausty today.
Yeah. Well, I just got back from I ran 3 miles and then came in and took off those sweaty clothes, put on different clean clothes just to get sweaty again by doing some push-ups and some lunges and some kettleballs without the kettleball because I don't have a kettleball. Mm. But I was using 2 gallon milk jugs filled with water.
That'll work. Although also really messy if something goes wrong.
This is true. So that's why you got to be very controlled and very careful. Just kind of generally destroying my upper body in the same way that I destroyed my lower body.
Gotcha. For a second, I thought you said you were going to change to be sweaty on a podcast, and I was going to ask you if you get sweaty while podcasting.
No. I took a shower in between the heavy workout and being here on the podcast. So
well, I appreciate that.
And I managed to
being on the other end of Skype. Appreciate you not being stinky.
Yeah. In Memphis, nobody can hear you smell. So, Memphis is actually one of my favorite places.
Mine too.
I really dig Memphis.
It's got
like
a good vibe.
The times I've visited Memphis, I really like it.
It's got a good vibe, you know. I mean, I think like most big cities, it's got problems. You know, there's a people, you know, people my age and maybe a little bit older are working hard to get some stuff fixed, and that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's some good. So let me tell you the things I love about Memphis.
Okay.
All right. First of all, I love the fact that Graceland is now in the hood.
It is definitely in the hood.
I just think that's awesome. There's something even Elvis, I think, would have appreciated about that.
Graceland in the hood. That should be the title, Graceland in the hood.
Graceland in the hood. There you go. There's our title.
Well, this was a good show. I think we should wrap it up. We got the title. That's all Mike said he needed.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I really like the Sun Studios tour. Mm-hmm. Like, I could do that tour, like, every single time I go.
For sure.
Because it seems like I always, like, learn something a little bit different, because they always have, like, a different person, because they think they have a high turnover rate for that. And so I always find out something a little bit different, and I dig that. But there's a place on Beale Street, and you got to tell me if it's still there. I believe that it is like Beale Street Barbecue or Beale Street. Yeah, something like that. But basically what I like about it is that it's a kind of decrepit place with, like, you know, red vinyl booths that are like falling apart. And, I mean, it looks like a joint that could, it hasn't seen love in a good 30, 40 years.
Right. Sorry about the sirens. I'm recording outside of my workshop.
Oh, it's all right. It's okay. Yeah, I get sirens here. I'm on a major major route for for the fire engine, so I get it.
Here they come.
But they have really, really, really good barbecue.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I mean, I think there is a place on Beale like that, but all the good barbecue mm-hmm. places have that in common, where they're kind of... Mm. I don't want to say ratty, but kind of worn down. You know, like, there's a guy in the corner, you know, playing checkers who hasn't left the booth in 40 years.
Yeah.
And there's something tied to that with, like, that vibe and good, like, smoky, maybe not the cleanest kitchen-type barbecue.
No. Yeah. Even better if, like, the walls are painted like a hospital green.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I just trust clean barbecue places.
You know, there's something to be said for that, right? Like, the dirtier the place, the more likely the barbecue is good.
Right.
There's also something about size, too. Now, you know, even though Beale Street, you know, because it's on Beale Street, so it's got to be big, mm-hmm. right? You know, but like some of those like joints where, there's no tables, it's just like a window inside and it's like behind bulletproof glass. And, you know, it's one of those deals where you kind of slip your money under the window and they, through some rotating door, give you your barbecue.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, that right there is where the money
is. If you don't have to pick like a mustache hair out of your slaw, you don't eat there.
No. I mean, at least that. You know?
you hope it's a mustache hair.
You better make sure that the person behind, I don't care who's taking your money, look at the cook, because if that cook is not at least 300 pounds, you're not going to get good
barbecue. Right, because he's not eating it himself.
Because he's not eating it himself?
Exactly. There's a barbecue chain here that will remain
nameless.
Thank you. That is the hardest thing in the world to say, apparently. And they've got a bunch of locations, and that's kind of like where people want to go, like who from out of town. And like it's okay barbecue, but it's clean and well lit. Like Mike and Sammy are coming to Memphis in April, and I was like, I'm gonna take you guys in the hood to go eat good food, you know, or like some little dump that you're gonna be afraid to eat, but you're going to love.
See, now I'm coming through Memphis, as you know, in about two, three weeks.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be driving from here to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. And my people are in New Orleans. And so, going down to visit my mom and my sister and one of my brothers. And my other brother who lives here is actually going to be coming down a couple of days after we are. And, you know, it's going to be a nice little kind of family Mardi Gras celebration.
Sounds like fun.
But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really excited for Beatrix. And also really excited to show Bethany New Orleans through my eyes, because she's been when she was a kid. She hasn't been back since. Being that I'm from there, this is, you know, she's a St. Paul girl, so I know all about St. Paul. And, you know, I mean, she was born and raised here, and even though she's traveled all around the globe, she's a St. Paul girl. Right. Well, I'm a New Orleans boy. And despite, you know, spending a good portion of my life growing up here, I still consider New Orleans home. And so it'll be a good chance to kind of show her and Beatrix my New Orleans.
Right.
And where I'm from.
No, that'll be fun.
And yeah. So I'm going to be driving through Memphis. So
we should do something if it works. If it's good for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hard thing is just going to be knowing timing. We're likely going to stop. So here's my plan. My plan is to set it up such that we stop somewhere in Missouri, because we're not going to drive straight through. We're going to, break it up into 2 days, especially with Beatrix, you know, because she gets tired in the car and it takes us longer because we stop every couple hours or so. but I'm thinking of stopping somewhere around St. Louis or so. Mm-hmm. Maybe possibly Hannibal, birthplace of Mark Twain, by the way, Hannibal, Missouri.
Trivia, I like it,
which I really, really love. I was a big fan of Huck Finn and
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Tom Sawyer, Tom Sawyer, growing up.
Now, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, didn't he? That was a different guy.
That's C.S. Lewis.
No, I know.
Speaking of books, we should talk about books.
Of course I know who C.S. Lewis is.
That's like required. I mean, that's like, okay, you got to read the Bible and C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
Right?
And that's all you need to read. St. Louis is about 5 hours north of me, 5 or 6 hours, I think. That's where we went on our honeymoon, because we had no money. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, we did talk about
this. I understand now, you know, when Mike says, oh, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, because once you're in front of this microphone, a lot of your brain stops and turns off, and then that part is reignited when you say something you said before. So it's like, I know I've told this Yeti something about this before.
Yes, and that's what you told
Yeti
me.
Being the microphone, not you.
Yes.
You're a handsome man who did. I don't think you look like Bigfoot.
Well, you know, I'm working on that.
That beard's a little...
For the podcast.
It's like, hey, meet me at Starbucks. I'm the guy in a loincloth covered in body hair. Awesome. I need an adult.
So, that's the reason why I thought St. Louis would be a good stopping place, you see. Because what that does is it sets us up for lunch in Memphis.
Yes, it does.
See?
Yes, it does.
Because if we leave about 8, we'll be to Memphis about noon.
That's great.
And so, because I'm kind of a fast driver. I'm not sure if we've ever talked about that. Not only am I a fast driver, but I have cop fairies. I have cop fairies that protect me from the cops.
Hmm.
So I can drive as fast as I want.
It's interesting. You know, you're pretty much guaranteeing yourself a ticket on the way down here.
Let me tell you about the time that I drove from here to Little Rock, Arkansas in 9 hours.
Holy cow. That's so fast. I like Little Rock. I think Little Rock gets a bad rap because it's in Arkansas, but like it's a beautiful city. It's very outdoorsy. There's lots of trails.
It is.
There's the river.
Oh, tons.
It's a good place.
Tons. Those Arkansas folks, they're all about like, you know, hiking in the hills.
Yeah, taking your cousin up on the mountain for a weekend.
That's right. Well, so the deal was, I was going down for a wedding of a friend of mine, and it was this, you know, kind of mountain in the weddings, and, you know, they're a bunch of Arkansas hippies, mm-hmm. right? And it was one of these situations where the wedding was happening on a Saturday. There was the guy she was marrying was in a band that was really, really, really popular down there. Like, I didn't realize how popular until I got there. And they were having kind of a pre-wedding, you know, gig, you know, a special gig, mm-hmm. The night before. So it was one of these things where it's like, you know, I had to be down there for the wedding on Saturday morning, but I knew that I wanted to go to this gig, and the gig was at 9, and that I couldn't leave work early. I had to leave at about 9.
So you just had to make up for it by traveling roughly the speed of light.
I averaged 98 miles an hour.
What do you drive?
At that time, I was driving a Dodge Neon.
I didn't know those were capable of going that fast.
Yes, but with some tweaks.
With some tweaks. With some prayer.
I had some tweaks.
My college roommate had one, and it was a piece of junk.
Yeah, no, this one was money, and really, it stayed in business for 5 years. It was still going when I traded it in for my current vehicle. But yeah, 98. That was why I averaged.
98.
And so there were spots in Missouri that I was going well over 100 miles an hour. I mean, like, for a long time.
I just drove last night from Nashville, where I flew out of from Mackerel, drove back home. It's Memphis is pretty much in between Little Rock and Nashville, you know, give or take 60,
yeah.
Not even 60 miles, give or take 30 or 40 miles.
Right.
And so I drive this big 2001 4Runner that's, you know, I mean, it's kind of... It's not super country, but it's a little country. You know, it's Japanese, so it can't be too hickish, I don't think. But
yeah.
Yeah, so the fastest that thing will go basically before the steering column vibrates you so hard that your arms come out is about 76.
Oh,
so it's
man.
Like, I'm in the right lane. People, you know, I'm getting passed by tractor trailers. I got up to 80 going downhill one time, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily, this trip, I'm not going to have to go to those extremes. And I'm a lot more comfortable when I have Bethany and Beatrix in the car, obviously.
Right.
I drive a Nissan Versa now, and we'll likely be taking that for the gas mileage, as much as I would want to take one of our other cars. Yes, we have 3 cars. I think even still, because Missouri, the speed limit is still 75 on the highway, right?
Beats me.
Or is it 70?
No idea.
I believe it. I believe it's either 70 or 75. I forget what it is. I think it's 75.
Either way, but in triple digits, you're going to jail.
Well, there's no question about that, yes. But not a single, and I didn't have a radar detector. Like, I wasn't using any special tricks to, like, you know, they just weren't around. They just happened to not be around when I was coming through, you know, Friday late afternoon.
That's great.
You know, or mid-afternoon. And so, yeah, I made it from, you know, I made it from here to Iowa City in about 3.5 hours. That's normally a 4.5 to 5 hour trip.
And ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
But see, here's what you do. This is the secret.
If you say close your eyes and hope for the best, I'm hanging up on Skype.
No. I'm not saying that. But this is what you do to figure out how fast it is you're going to need to go in order to make your destination on time. And that is that you say, okay, it is X number of miles between, you know, here and there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Driving at 60 miles an hour average, right, is one minute per mile. Right?
That is correct.
Okay. So now that we've determined that, now you figure out, okay, how much time can I shave off that? By doing 70, I'm shaving off roughly, and you're doing very rough math at this
right.
point, but by driving 70, you're shaving off 10 minutes. So now that same, you know, 60 miles, you're getting 10 miles more on, right?
Right.
Well, or you can get 20 miles more out of it by doing 80. Or you can get 30 miles more out of it by doing 90, right? And, you know, so basically, doing 95, you're roughly getting, if you're averaging, of course, you know, cruise control will help. But if you're fluctuating at any amount, let's just say that you're saving yourself, you're cutting off 100 miles every hour.
Mm-hmm. Seems right, but I picked a degree with only one math class. Oh man! I best.
So the you know, that's how I figured out how I was going to get down there and make it on time. It was a bit over 9 hours though. It was like 9:20 or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Still.
So the moral of the story is we're going to do lunch in a couple weeks.
Moral of the story is we're going to do some lunch in a couple
great.
Weeks. So
I'm thinking.
Kind of relying on you.
I'm thinking maybe Central. It's pretty easy to get to from the interstate, I think.
Right.
We'll find something.
Now, there's some considerations we're going to have to make here. Because, like, folks that don't live in the South don't know the South. But here's some considerations that you're going to need to be aware of, okay? First of all, I'll be a black man with two blonde ladies.
Central's in the cool hipster part of town.
Okay, all right. All right. I mean, because that precludes us from being able to go certain places, right?
And sadly, that's probably true.
That's true. Well, I mean, you don't have to experience that because you're white, but as a black man, up here it's not as big of a deal, but I certainly know as a black man from the South, there are certain places that I probably, you know, there's places I won't take Bethany in New Orleans, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike and I talked about that, you know, with him and Sammy, and it's just an unfortunate thing you have to think about it in 2012. You know, and I think, you know, I think the South's obviously better than it used to be, but I think there are still pockets, you know, where you run into issues.
Yeah, there's definitely pockets and areas and I mean and even just cities, like whole cities are better than others, right? New Orleans is a little bit better than others simply because New Orleans has a rich history of lots of, you know, that kind of thing, right? And one of the reasons why I'm light skinned, right, is because all my people are light skinned. Why? Well, because you know, you go back far enough, and there was a whole lot of intermixing.
Right. Yeah, no, I loved your post about that. Man, it's probably been a couple years now, hasn't it? I don't know. Tom doesn't mean anything to me, but
that's not just a post. That's also it's in the book, so that's probably it's probably even fresher for you there because I'm keeping it straight.
Which is great. I own it in paperback.
Speaking of which, before I let you go,
because
what I really wanted, when I was thinking about in my head, like, okay, third topic, what should I talk about? And I thought, okay, we should just have a kind of, you know, because Stephen and I, we can just shoot the, we can shoot the crap for.
Good save.
Yeah. Thank you.
Saving me some time and
for hours.
Right.
For hours, we can just, you know, yuck it up. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, and maybe talk about, a little bit, sorry, got something stuck in my mouth. Books.
Yes. I read them sometimes.
What have you read? Yeah, what have you read lately that's good?
I just wrapped up the Hunger Game trilogy, which I know is more, I think, kind of a youth-oriented book, or fiction.
No. My wife loved
it. Yeah, no, I read all three in, like, the course of a week. Easy read, but good. I think they're doing a movie this spring.
They are. That's why my wife was like, "Oh, my wife is just nuts."
Yeah,
she can't wait for the movie.
So they're good. I got about maybe a quarter of the way through the Inside Apple book, and then just gave up. There wasn't anything new in there, at least to me. Yeah. I mean, as you know, a nerd blogger guy.
And former Apple employee.
Yeah. So really, I mean, I just finished the last Hunger Games book like two nights ago, and then I drove for 3 hours last night. So I'm not reading anything currently, but I'm getting ready. I will probably reread The Giver at some point this spring, which again is another youth book, but one of my favorite books growing up.
Gotcha.
And then I have on my Kindle, I'm getting ready to start Michael Lopp's book, Managing Humans, from what I've heard of
Rands.
Yes. Who I had drinks with in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Well, he's at the other end of the table. Oh, I think we said hi. I don't know. Does that count? It counted in my heart.
Dude. Oh, man.
So I manage some nerds and want to do that better. So I'm going to read that. And I know it's kind of the go-to book, I think, for a lot of people who manage nerds. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to reading it. And it'll probably be one where I read a chapter and then think about it for 2 weeks and then read, you know, depending on how it's spaced out. That's how I read your book, you know, in little small sections over the course of a long time, because it's, you know, I think from what I've heard, Managing Humans is more of a collection of essays than a front to back
kind of straightforward narrative.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I do. That's what I write. That's what Enough is going to be, right? It's a collection of essays that all, you know, kind of revolve around a common theme.
Right.
When people ask me what it is I write, I say I'm an essayist.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
That's what I do, you know. Books number 2 and 3, I'm sorry, 3 and 4 are going to be... are going to be that. Essays kind of around a common theme. And I've already kind of determined what that is.
But very cool.
I'm not ready to spill any beans quite yet.
Exclusive and Mike's on vacation. Come on. No, yeah. That's cool. Keep your beans to yourself.
They get messy. They get messy.
I suppose we should probably wrap this episode up.
Yeah, probably.
Guys,
but wait, my books.
Your books.
I get to talk about books.
We got 19 more episodes we have to record.
No, okay, right. So The Flinch, which is a Domino Project book I recently read. If you liked Stephen Pressfield's War of Art or Do the Work, and both of which are so highly recommended, it's not even funny. I mean, those are mandatory. Like, you can't even, like, shouldn't even really have a conversation with me about getting stuff done until you've read those two books. But The Flinch kind of plays off of that as well, and I think does a nice brief job of it. I believe it's available available free for the Kindle. Great. Also, Information Diet by Clay Johnson, which is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Basically, he takes it's almost like a riff on Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma, replacing food with information and information consumption, and you know how to. You know, have a fair and balanced information diet, as it were. Fair and balanced. Gosh, I hate that word. I sound so much like Fox. Okay. So,
a journalism degree is smoldering on the wall.
It is.
I just bought Information Diet. That's been on my list for a while, so I just bought it for the Kindle right now.
Yeah, and another one which Randy recommended to me, which is on deck. I haven't read it yet. Is it Quiet about introverts and of course I don't have the name, but
yeah.
I will
link. Yeah,
Quiet, the power of introverts in a world they can't stop talking. And despite how much I run my mouth here on this podcast, a lot of people don't know that I am an introvert.
Yeah, you and I are the same in that way, my friend.
Yeah, where we're kind of closet introverts, like. If you put us in a social situation, we'll just keep running our mouths because that's the way that we deal with our nervousness.
Right.
And then people think that we're outgoing when, in fact, we're dealing with the fact that we have to interact with human beings, which we would very much prefer not to do.
Agreed. Yeah, trying to cover for it almost.
Yeah, definitely. Try to cover for it. That's what I do.
Cool.
All right. So, in any case, those are books I recommend, and yes, we should get going so we can record these other couple of podcasts.
Sounds good.
Because as people who are regular listeners to the show know, we record a couple at a time. So, thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Pat. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this has been fun. Cool. And we'll talk later.
Sounds good.
Cheers.